It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
With us now is Josh Holmes, founding partner at Cavalry LLC, co-host of the Ruthless podcast, the Fine Variety program. He's also a longtime aide to Senator Mitch McConnell. Josh, great to have you back here.
Hey, guys. Great to be with you.
So yesterday we got the CPI report on inflation, and it was bad. Worse than expected again for the third consecutive month. Prices up 19.4% overall since Biden took office. I saw PPI was also up today, not as much as feared, but still prices headed in the wrong direction still under this president. And there was something, I don't know if you saw this, hilarious that happened on MSNBC yesterday. They had a Democratic congressman on, Jim Clyburn from South Carolina, and he was talking about Biden's economic record and all the misinformation from the right-wingers that are bamboozling people about the economy and how we have to fight it. And then they cut into the coverage with the CPI report. So here's Clyburn in cut six.
So what we've got to do is make sure that people see the policies of the Biden administration, how they affect their everyday lives, and get them to see in his policies that which is real. Not what they may hear on social media. One of the focus group people talked about social media and the misrepresentation, disinformation, all of those things are out there. And that's the battle that we have to fight. And we've got to do a better job of fighting it more effectively.
All the misrepresentation, all the disinformation, and then Mika Brzezinski, the anchor, she says, oh, yes, I validate that. Well, we have some breaking news. What was that breaking news, Mika? Cut seven.
I'll validate that. I think the disinformation out there is distorting the entire process. I think social media doesn't help. But there's also a lack of validation that these voters feel. And I'm going to bring in Andrew Ross Sorkin right now because we just got breaking news. The consumer price index increased at a faster than expected pace last month, a signal that inflation remains stubbornly high.
Josh, just gold.
What a perfect vignette in what is liberal coverage of this administration. I mean, it's so good. They can't get out of their own way. You ever notice, Guy, how anytime something goes wrong on the progressive left, it's always about the messaging. It's about disinformation. It's about, you know, sometimes they're not speaking clearly enough. It's never about the absolute god-awful economic policies or god-awful candidates. You know, like all the things that they do wrong, it's always just, wow, people just are not getting the message. It's like, no. I think we get the message. It's not great. It's not great, Bob.
That's exactly it. And also on that same network, they were probably having a rough day at the office because there were so many things they probably didn't want to talk about, but did anyway, or had to. They had a focus group of voters called the Undecideds. And as you might have guessed, it was all undecided voters, not sure which way they're going to go. And they were all from swing states. We played the clip yesterday as well. And it was Mark Halperin who was moderating it. And they were all on Zoom. And in cut five, you'll hear here, he asks for a show of hands on a certain question. Listen.
I think he's been absolutely disastrous for the economy.
I agree.
Just raise your hand if you think President Trump's policies on the economy would be better for your family personally. Raise your hand. All right. So that is everybody.
Raise your hand if you think Trump's policies would be better for your family personally. And every single hand went up. And that's a choice, right, between Trump and Biden. And these are swing state voters who aren't decided which way they're going to go, unanimously said, Trump's policies are better for my family. That is going to be one of the key themes of this general election, Josh.
No question about it. Tough stuff for President Biden. I mean, I think it speaks to the unique nature of this particular election because you've got two former presidents back to back. And, you know, if you're voting in these elections, question is, do you remember what it was like 4 years ago as compared to how it is now? And you can evaluate that. And, you know, you can see from that particular focus group people have a definitive view of that. But it's not, you know, it's not just that focus group. You look at the last 10 polls that have come out, they'll rank 8 issues that people care about and would vote upon. 7 of the 8, Trump has a commanding lead on, the most significant of which is the economy. And look, you don't have to be a political scientist to figure out if your bank account and your prospect for success feels worse than it did a few years back, that's going to have an impact on you.
Yep. And I just want to play a few of the comments because I think this is actually a really important insight. There was a woman on this focus group panel called Gigi from Pennsylvania, another one named Omar from Michigan. And the discussion was around the economy and President Biden's leadership and Biden's policies. And it's not just that these people are unhappy with Biden. Listen to what they say specifically in cut 3.
Is there anything Joe Biden could do or say between now and the time you vote that would make you feel differently about feeling that his policies would not be as good for your family on the economy? Or have you pretty much decided that Trump's policies would be better for the economy?
I mean, I feel like he doesn't even take accountability for what's at all with what's going on in the economy. Not even accountability. Like, he's in denial that it's happening.
The point is Biden needs to hear the people, because when he's talking about the economy doing stellar, he's talking about the stock market. He's not looking at homelessness or joblessness. He's not, at Gigi's point, thinking about how much it costs to go to the grocery store. And he's gaslighting literally everyone in the process.
Okay. And Omar, you voted for Joe Biden last time, right?
Yeah.
So a woman from PA, a man from Michigan, and they're not just upset about the state of the economy, Josh, as you heard there. They're also angry at Biden for not owning up to it and having no accountability and gaslighting people. That almost is worse, right? Because they are both angry with the policies and angry with him for lying to them about it.
Yeah, I think that's the catch-22 in the entire approach the Biden administration has taken to trying to defend their economic record. I mean, you recall when there were tough economic times back in the 90s and you had Bill Clinton feeling your pain. There are many, many accounts of people trying to identify with the struggles in a tough environment and have done it successfully politically. Their view is that they ought to just power through it and try to tell everybody not to believe their lying eyes. It's condescending. I think a lot of voters take huge exception to the idea that was represented in the first clip that you played by Clyburn on MSNBC, telling everybody that any news about the economy being bad is misinformation. Then you got to break in with a consumer price index breaking news that everything's going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, it's just you can't deny reality, and they have chosen to. And I think they're getting punished all over the place in every poll that I see.
Josh, it's important to note within this focus group, it was not all rainbows, butterflies, and happiness for the Trump campaign either. It was clear listening to these folks, these swing voters from swing states, that they really don't like Donald Trump. They view him as obnoxious. They view him as undisciplined. The word volatile came up, mean, bully. These are words that they use to describe him. And some of them are saying, we still think he's better on the issues, he's better for my family, but I don't like X, Y, and Z. And that goes, I think, what we're seeing within this single focus group to some Gallup polling results that came out yesterday as well, where Gallup asked the American people about Biden and Trump and certain leadership and personal qualities. So they asked, for example, can this person manage the government effectively? Is this person likable? Does this person display good judgment in a crisis? Is this person a strong and decisive leader? Does this person care about the needs of people like you? And is this person honest and trustworthy? And the good news for Trump in the results is he's significantly outperforming Biden on a lot of the leadership qualities, but he's lagging Biden on likability, honesty, and trustworthiness. But the real, I think, most interesting outcome from this poll, Josh, was they compared, as you said, it's so unique. You have a current president and the former president. They have the exact same data about these exact same two men from 4 years ago. So they showed us, okay, how did these guys poll on all these issues in 2020? And how are they polling now? And this is what I want to bring to you, Josh. On Trump, for better and for worse, because he's strong on some of these and weak on others, he is basically unchanged. Statistically, he is exactly in the same place as he was 4 years ago. On leadership, on character, it's like 1 to 3 point variance, which is statistical noise. People feel exactly the same way about Trump as they did 4 years ago on all of these metrics. On Biden, he is down on every single one. On government effectiveness and managing the government, he's down 13 points. On likability, he's down 9 points. On judgment in a crisis, he's down 9 points. On decisive leadership, he's down 8 points. On caring about people, he's down 7 points. On honesty, he's down 6 points. So Trump, even when he's weak, the opinion is unchanged. Biden, however, has really seen a deterioration across the board on all of these questions. I wonder what your read is on what that means. What's the consequence of that?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no mystery about how people feel about Donald Trump. He's the most famous person in the country. He's the most ubiquitous character in modern media. He's everywhere all of the time. And there isn't anyone that doesn't have a fully formed opinion about him one way or another. You know, the question on Joe Biden was in 2020 when he was running against something you didn't know. He ran, and I would argue, as sort of a bait and switch, as a candidate that was going to sort of put the adult back in a room, as he said, and basically manage a tumultuous time, which is not at all what he did. I mean, it went in
right.
And tried to pull this country as far left as they possibly could and then bungled every foreign policy and every other decision in the process. And so now he's not judged on the alternative, which is Donald Trump and the fully formed opinions people have about him. He's judging his own record. And that gets a lot more tricky because he has weighed in on all these things. His policies are in place. People are either comfortable with it or they're not. And I think you can see from all of those poll numbers and clearly the degrading in how people view his own leadership qualities is a testament to people not feeling very good about his presidency at all. And so he's got an additional challenge that 4 years ago just simply didn't exist for the Biden campaign.
Yeah, his record, right? They were running against Trump and just saying, we can do better and we're going to fix all these things and we'll heal the country and unite our souls or whatever they were saying. And now you've got 4 years almost of a record. And it's interesting to watch in a lot of polling, Josh, Donald Trump's retrospective job approval rating is up. He's polling better on approval than he ever did when he was actually president because people have now seen the alternative for 3.5 years. Like, well, actually, never mind. I approve of what he did as president way more than I thought I did. That's the good news for Trump. The bad news for Trump is he's still seen as less likable than Joe Biden. And often elections and national elections come down to likability, popularity contests. And there's kind of these two giant contrasting narratives and storylines of why one guy will win or why the other guy will win, and which one ends up prevailing, we won't know for a number of months, but we'll talk about it endlessly until then. Josh Holmes, before I let you go, I want to just get your reaction. I've watched this just a little bit. I know one of the candidates that you think is really sharp, really strong for the Republicans in a Senate race, and God knows there have been some real misfires in recent cycles and probably one or two again this cycle, but one of the really impressive ones is this guy, Tim Sheehy, up in Montana, who's running against Chuck Schumer with a flat top haircut known as John Tester. And Tester's been pretty lucky through the years. He's had weak opponents. He's been up in cycles that have been beneficial to Democrats. This one could be tough for Tester. He's got a good opponent that the Republicans cleared the field for. But now we're seeing the media coming after Sheehy and questioning some of his military record or his bona fides as a war hero. What's going on here?
What goes on every cycle? And first off, on John Tester, this is a left-wing liberal who doesn't look like one, right?
Yep.
Which is the best thing he's got going on, is he's been able to basically masquerade as some kind of a centrist when there's nothing in his record that has ever been anywhere close to the center. Tim Sheehy is an American war hero. The Navy SEAL. This is a guy that has an exemplary record, a number of medals and commendations. This is somebody you would we think kind of represents the best of what we as Americans are. But of course, if you're a Republican running against a Democratic incumbent, particularly in the Senate, you have two things that immediately happen. The first is you get absolutely annihilated by left-wing money machines and ads and everything else. But the second thing that is, I think, more pervasive and disgusting is that you have the mainstream media corporate overdrive that goes into making sure that they're sort of elevating any single thing that they can to try to muddy up somebody's character and reputation. And in this case, the Washington Post tried their very best. I don't think it was terribly effective. But if you see it, just watch. I'll tell you all your listeners, just watch, and I'm not urging you to read the New York Times and Washington Post, but just look at headlines. And over the next 6 months, you tell me how many critical headlines there are about Democratic Senate candidates versus bio pieces on Democratic candidates, and then look at the alternative on the Republican side in terms of critical pieces versus bio. If it's anything less than 10 to 1, guys, I will eat my hat.
That's the thing, because you're talking about – no, you're right. It's the left-wing attack machine, and it's important to view much of the news media as part, very much part, actively of the left-wing attack machine. It's why a lot of these reporters feel like they were put on Earth. So I think that's just one thing to inform people's news consumption habits. Just a good reminder in the early stages of yet another cycle where the press is all in on one party and all in against the other party as usual. Josh Holmes will be listening to the Ruthless podcast. We always appreciate your time here, sir.
You're the man, guy. I really appreciate you having me.
We will step aside and be right back after these messages.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.